We thank you, Father God, that the holy angels are released to touch the hearts, minds, and souls of each and every person that's here and that will be hearing this message. And we pray, Father God, that the truth would come out and it would go deep within our hearts and we would use it to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about the solar eclipse, signs in the heavens. Everybody's ablaze and a bust about it right now. When Pastor Barbara asked me to share on this topic, I was excited. There were some neat things that I had been hearing about the eclipse. I love the Word of God. I love how God is very specific and very detailed and how everything is laid out. And then I started to prepare and study. And honestly, I went through a range of emotions that were not good. It was at this point that I had to make a decision. Was I going to tell you the truth about what I had found? Or was I going to jump on the bandwagon with all the other prophetic voices that are out there right now? After some intense prayer, it came to me that you needed to hear the ugly truth, no matter what it is. The more I studied and the more I researched, I discovered that we are being lied to by the voices who claim to be prophetic and deep and spiritual. We're being lied to. Not only are we being lied to, but the people who should be protecting us are not protecting us from error, from deception and false truths. And I feel this. I'm sorry that I can't get my voice together, but I feel it deeply in my heart. Here we are today on the verge of one of the most important messages that God has for our nation, this solar eclipse that's happening and taking place. And our prophets have tampered with the message from God. Every one of us knows how accurate the Bible is. Later on, I'm going to pass you out a paper with 47 distinct and specific prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. 47 is going to be fulfilled. But word for word, God said this was going to happen, and it happened. We have to be very careful in the prophetic that we don't say things, one, that God hasn't said, and two, that are not biblical. And this is not going on right now. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 to 6. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon a land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. 2 Timothy 2:15 to 19. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Amplified. Study and do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman, tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. If you're claiming to be a prophet, you have a duty to give the warning that God gives you to give, and you have a duty to rightly divide the word of God. The prophets who are not giving the warnings and not rightly dividing God's word are under God's judgment. They will not escape the wrath of God. Let's talk about the signs in the heavens that are coming to the United States on April 8th, tomorrow, 2024. Acts 2, 16 to 21. But this is the beginning of what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see divinely prompted visions. And your old men shall dream divinely prompted dreams. Even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will bring about wonders in the sky above and signs attesting miracles on the earth below. Blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Jesus, shall be saved, rescued spiritually. So based upon the book of Joel as quoted in Acts, the sun being turned into darkness is a sign of the day that Jesus will return. And if you could go to the picture, this eclipse is going to go across the United States. Sorry, image two. It's going to start in Texas and end up in the upper part of the United States. You can leave that up for a few. On April 8th, a total solar eclipse will cross North America, passing over Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The path of the eclipse will travel through portions of the states of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. It is being projected that this eclipse will be the most viewed astronomical event in the entire history of our country. In fact, more than 30 million Americans will simply be able to walk outside of their homes and experience this eclipse. The path of the American eclipse of 2024 will cross the United States on the very first day of the modern Hebrew calendar. This may be significant, it may not. Let's go to image three. In 2023, there was a partial solar eclipse called a ring of fire that went across the states of Oregon all the way down to Texas. And you can see the path. Now, go to image four. In 2017, there was a total eclipse that went across the United States. So we're going back a period of 7 years. And this started in Oregon and ended in South Carolina. You can leave that up for a few. If you put the path of the Great American Eclipse of 2024 coming this April, the path of what was called the Ring of Fire solar eclipse, October 14th, and the path of the Great American Eclipse of 2017, if you put all of these on a map, they combine to form a giant Paleo-Hebrew aleph over America. And you can jump to image five. This is a Hebrew symbol. And now image six. That's prophetic. You can leave that up for a second. If you just put the path of the Great American Eclipses of 2024 and 2017 on a map, and they form a giant Paleo-Hebrew Tav over America, or to us, it looks like a giant X. Yes. So the center of the Paleo-Hebrew Tav forms a giant X that falls directly over the New Madrid fault zone. When Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. If you were to translate that back into Hebrew, he would be saying, I am the Aleph and the Tav. So here Jesus, God, has put this prophetic sign across the United States in a 7-year period. There's something significant to that. Don't know what that's going to be. We're still waiting to see how everything is going to come out with that. The path of the solar eclipse, that occurred on June 16th, 1806, combined with the path of a solar eclipse that occurred on September 17th, 1811, also formed a giant X over the New Madrid fault zone. 3 months after the solar eclipse that happened in 1811, 3 months after that big X was formed over the Madrid fault line, a series of absolutely enormous earthquakes began to happen on the New Madrid fault line. The New Madrid earthquakes were the biggest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but were felt as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. President James Madison and his wife Dolly felt them in the White House. Church bells rang in Boston. So from December 16, 1811, through March of 1812, after this solar eclipse went through in 1811, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest and between 6,000 to 10,000 earthquakes in Missouri, where New Madrid is located near the junction of Ohio and the Mississippi River. In the known history of the world, no other earthquakes have lasted so long or produced so much evidence of damage as the New Madrid earthquakes. Do you see the significance of what's happening? Don't know for sure, but it's awful funny that we just had an earthquake here. God is not playing, and he's not playing with America. In the church, the prophetic people can say that God's going to bless America and nothing bad is going to happen to us. You're wrong. You're wrong. And if the church is not going to say it, God is going to use the signs in the heavens to tell his truth. And it's going to come to pass. And there's going to be a lot of upset people in the church because they're going to be looking at us like, how come you didn't tell us? How come you didn't tell us the truth? That God was judging us for the things that we're doing. Jesus says one of the birth pangs or sorrows to look for his return is earthquakes in diverse places. And it does seem like those are increasing. So last time we had this formation from this eclipse that happened. This is a major prophetic sign for America. Could this happen again? We really honestly don't know, but why would you ignore this? But the next solar eclipse visible from the United States will not happen until 2044. So this is significant. Why would God put these two things together within a 7-year period? So that's a long ways off, and even that one, the path of the total solar eclipse, it only touches 3 states. So not anywhere near the magnitude of what's coming tomorrow. The Hebrew word or signs in Genesis 1:14 is pronounced ot and read right to left. It is immediately recognizable as having an aleph and tav held together by the vav or nail. What is particularly fascinating is the paleo or ancient Hebrew line drawings for these letters. The two eclipses that neatly cross the entire United States 7 years apart form a giant Tav or X over the nation, with the center of the X, the spot, being in an area in southern Illinois called Little Egypt. Carbondale, also known as Little Egypt in Illinois, is in the crosshairs of both eclipses. It's not in the exact center, but is definitely within the path of the totality of both the 2017 and 2024 total solar eclipses. Now people have noted the strangeness of the name Little Egypt, have drawn possible prophetic parallels to that. It actually goes a lot deeper than that with the Egyptian similarities of this area. Quote, Southern Illinois has long been referred to as Little Egypt. This nickname may be the result of the practices of early settlers from Northern Illinois who traveled to Southern Illinois to buy grain after a series of bad winters and droughts. These wagon train folks recognized the similarities between themselves and the ancient Israelites who went to Egypt to buy grain grown in the rich Nile Delta. Others have noted the similarity in shape between the mounds of the Native Americans who once lived throughout this area and the ancient pyramids of Egypt. Additionally, one notices the existence of many Egyptian names, such as Carmi, Cairo, Thebes, Karnak, Goshen, and Dongola. Other area Egyptian names include Sahara, Cole, Lake of Egypt, Little Egyptian Distributing, Greater Egyptian Athletic Conference, Bank of Egypt, Egyptian Drive, and the Daily Egyptian Newspaper, Egyptian Public and Mental Health Department, Egyptian Shrine Club, Egyptian State Bank, Little Egypt Realty, and many, many more. This is all in the United States. In 1960, when Southeastern Illinois College was formed, a Sphinx was included in the official seal of the college to honor the Little Egypt heritage shared by the people of the college district. A few years later, when a logo was created for Southeastern, it incorporated yet another Egyptian symbol, the pyramid. Southeastern's competitive teams have always had the falcon as their mascot. In Egypt, the king was thought of as a living god. While alive, he was Horus, the falcon-headed sky god sitting on the magic Isis throne. When he died, he became Osiris, god of the underworld, and his heir became Horus. This is really strange that this place does actually fall right in the center, not exact, but very close, right in the center of the crosshairs of the 2017 eclipse and the 2024 eclipse. This has led people to wonder, do these eclipses crossing over Little Egypt mean that America is headed for plagues similar to Egypt in the Bible for its rejection of God, including famine, pestilence, and death, as well as others? We just had the plague strike the United States, the entire world, COVID. People died. You can say it's false or fake, whatever you want. It still killed people. A lot of people died. And if truth be known, a lot of people in the church died. The Church of God in Christ denomination lost a lot of its leadership. And I'm sure there was others, but that's the only one that I know of. Is there sin in that leadership? What has God been prophesying to us that he was going to start killing people in the pulpits? And it's happening. It's happening. We can't say for sure on this side of possible fulfillment of anything like that, but doesn't that make you think? Luke 21:10-11. Then Jesus told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and in various places famines and deadly, devastating pestilences, plagues, epidemics, and there will be terrible sights and great signs from heaven. Luke mentions the great and fearful signs from heaven. Notice that Luke says great earthquakes. Whatever the great and fearful signs in the heavens will be, whatever Jesus is talking about in this reference is not limited to, but is also connected to earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. These signs are fearful and great. The church can do everything in its power to try to keep people from being afraid, but if the Bible says you will be afraid, that's what you're going to be. You can't take that away. You just can't. And no matter how hard the prophets try to say it's not going to happen, it's happening right before our eyes. Matthew 24:1-8 signs of Christ's return. Jesus left the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the magnificent and massive buildings of the temple. And he said to them, "Do you see all these things? I assure you and most solemnly say to you, not one stone here will be left on another, which will not be torn down." While Jesus was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, completion, consummation of the age?" Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me, saying, 'I am the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed,' and they will mislead many." So we got false prophets in the church giving false words, and they're misleading us. We got to stop listening to these people. We got to stop giving them money. We got to stop increasing their social media accounts by forwarding the junk that they're giving us, because it's not true. And all it does is spread lies. "They will mislead many. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end of the age. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs for the intolerable anguish and a time of unprecedented trouble." So I want you to go to image number 10. This is something else that's going to be happening on April 8th. This is the Devil Comet. This is going to be appearing at the same time that the eclipse takes place. Hold that, Brett. Roughly every 71 years, the bright periodic comet 12P Pons Brooks passes by the sun and the earth. At its brightest, it can be seen with the naked eye in fairly dark skies. A bright comet that only appears once, maybe twice in a lifetime, is currently on its way through our solar system. The city-sized comet has already made headlines for bright outbursts over the past several months, and now some astronomers are speculating it could appear in the darkened sky during the total solar eclipse on April 8th, provided the comet is glowing brightly enough. But Pons Brooks isn't your standard comet. It's a cold volcano. It intermittently lets out blasts of gas in frigid conditions known as cryovolcanic activity, and these outbursts can lead it to glow more brightly. After one such explosion last July, the coma, or cloud of vapor and dust around the comet's rocky core, expanded to more than 7,000 times the size of the comet itself. Richard Miles of the British Astronomical Association told Live Scientist Harry Baker at the time, "This outburst, caused the coma to take a horseshoe-like shape, leading some to term it the Horned Comet or even the Devil's Comet." That's a significant sign about the eclipse. You don't have this, Brett. NASA on tomorrow is going to be shooting 3 rockets into the eclipse to monitor the atmosphere. The term that they used to describe what they're doing is called atmospheric perturbation around the eclipse path, APEP. Atmospheric perturbation around the eclipse path. This also has a meaning of Apophis, which is a demon. So why would NASA name this mission APEP? Why would they name it a demon? Apep is an ancient Egyptian deity who embodied chaos and disorder. It was called Apophis, the lord of chaos, the evil dragon. These are things that are going to be going on in the atmosphere. What do you think you're going to be feeling tomorrow over the next couple of months? What do you think we're even feeling now? All of this demonic activity is going off right now, and it's affecting everything that we do. It's affecting how we feel. It's affecting what's going on with the families. Look at all the dumb murders that are increasing because of these things that are happening. There were shootings somewhere here in Dover within the last week or so. This is spiritually significant. And the last thing that I wanted to bring out about April 8th is CERN. CERN is to test the world's most powerful particle accelerator. You don't have this, Brett. During April's eclipse, to search for invisible matter that scarcely pours out of our universe. CERN, the governing body that is in control in the world's largest of the world's largest collider, the team will send the beams through the tunnel to hunt for dark matter. It will start on April 8th. CERN is prone to satanic tendencies. CERN is trying to open a doorway into the fourth dimension. When a particle collision happens and other particles fly out of the aftermath, sometimes certain particles are lost. They seemingly disappear. CERN is testing a theory to see if these lost particles ascend into a higher dimension of space. Apparently, they have been able to show this. These higher dimensions are the spirit world, and the Bible warns us not to do these things because we are only three-dimensional beings and we were not made to be on that level yet. They are finding bigger, higher level consciousnesses, and they are interacting with them. Demons. They're looking for demons, and they're interacting with them. What do they hope to learn? What do they hope to give us by doing this? Why don't they seek God? Get his consciousness, get his goodness, get his all that he is. No, we're going to play with devils. We're going to use our scientific technology to look and open up spiritual realms of darkness and bring them to the earth. Does this make any sense whatsoever? They are finding bigger, higher level demons. These demons are telling them that they can be their own God all by themselves. They don't need the real God. Okay, Brett, we're going to go to, we have two Salems and two Ninevehs. We have two Salems and two Ninevehs in the path of totality for these two eclipses. Let's look at the meanings of the numbers 2 and 4. Two of the two Salems and Ninevehs in 4, because these are four cities in total. So let me back up. In 2017, there were two cities that were in the eclipse path, and they were named Salem. So it was Salem, Oregon, and it was somewhere Salem, North Carolina, I believe. And in 2024, there's going to be two cities named Nineveh that are in the eclipse path going that way, and I don't remember what their names are. So this is the prophetic significance that we should be looking at, the number 2 and the number 4. So we're going to go into this. Let's look at the meanings of the numbers 2 and 4. 2 for the two Salems and Ninevehs, and 4 because these are four cities in total. Since most people are paying attention to their possibility of having biblically significant, maybe even prophetic names, the number 2 conveys the meaning of a union, division, or the verification of facts by witnesses. A man and woman, though two, are made one in marriage. There is also a union of two between Christ and the church, 1 Corinthians 12. The testimony of God is divided into two testaments, old and new. His agreements with mankind are divided into old and new covenants. Adam, the first man, sinned and brought death and destruction into the world. Jesus, however, as the second or last Adam, brings the hope of the destruction of the eternal, brings the hope of the resurrection and eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22, 45 through 49. Those who ultimately refuse to repent and obey God will be put to death forever by being thrown in the lake of fire, which is called the second death. Revelations 21, 8. This act will eternally divide those who are righteous from those who practice evil. If you can see, there's definitely a theme here of some kind of division, like between good and evil. The need for two people to confirm what is true is one of the reasons why Jesus trained his disciples by sending them out in pairs. Could these two eclipses be two witnesses? The two witnesses in the end time will appear on a world scene to testify and uphold the truth of God against the beast and the false prophet in Revelation 11. Jesus sent the disciples out in groups of two pairs so that they could not only testify about his teachings and miracles, but also the witness of those who accepted or rejected the gospel. Let's look at some of the appearances of the number four. After Jesus was nailed and hung on the cross, Roman soldiers divided his clothes into four parts, one for each soldier. We get that from John 19, 23. The four witnesses of God on earth are miracles, wonders, signs, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we get from Hebrews 2. Lazarus had been dead and in his tomb for 4 days before Jesus came to Bethany to resurrect him from the dead, John 11, 39. The number of times rainbows are referenced in the scripture are four. That's Genesis 9, Ezekiel 1, Revelation 4, and Revelation 10. What is called the tetragrammaton from the Greek, meaning four letters, is composed of consonants used to designate God's name in Hebrew. In the Hebrew Old Testament, these letters are Yud, Hev, Vav, He, are the most common proper name of God in Scripture. The number four in prophecy, in Ezekiel's well-known and awesome wheel, in the middle of a wheel vision, Ezekiel 1:10, he sees four living creatures transporting God's throne. Also out of its midst came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man, and each had four faces, each had four wings, and the likeness of their faces was this: the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side of the four of them, and the face of a bull, the left side, and of the four of them, and the face of an eagle towards the rear of the four of them. You can find that in Ezekiel 1, 5, 6, and 10. Ezekiel later in his book is told to proclaim to Israel that an end is coming upon the four corners of the land. An end is coming upon the four corners of the land, Ezekiel 7, 2. And the prophet is told by the Eternal to ask Israel's unrepentant elders to repent, or else four sore judgments will come upon Jerusalem. They are the sword, famine, wild beasts or animals, and pestilence. Have you guys seen the reports of these different animals that are getting loose and going crazy right now? Is this not a judgment from God? If one wanted to, one could make the connection that the first eclipse that had all the Salems in it, that's like praising God and all that stuff. But if the second one that has all the Ninevehs in it, if that's judgment, well, the second part of that four-verse psalm, Psalm 123, is like, have mercy on us, we're full of contempt. Given all that, can we say for sure, if anything, what will happen on April 8th, 2024? When the total solar eclipse will occur. No, of course, we can't say anything for absolute sure, but we do know from Genesis that part of the purpose of the sun, moon, and stars are for signs. And we have to be intellectually honest with you. Nothing could happen tomorrow. It just could. But we still have to take this seriously. We still have to be aware of what's going on, because there's too much to ignore. But to deny it and to not talk about it or to pretend that it's not ever happening, that's wrong. That's wrong on so many levels. Amy is going to be passing out some papers to you with those prophecies of Jesus. There's 47 of them. 46 of them have already come to pass. I'm not going to read them. I want you to read them, and I want you to see how specific God is in what he does. While she's doing that, I want to talk about the errors in closing by prophetic people in the body of Christ that I found during this research. Errors 1 and 2. The spooky spiritual people started a false prophecy in regards to the eclipse tied to the word Salem. The basis of the claim was that the path of the eclipse in 2017 hit 7 cities named Salem. This was not true. These same spooky spiritual people started another false prophecy in regards to the solar eclipse on April 8th. This prophecy says that the eclipse will go across 7 cities named Nineveh. This is also not true. You can roll the video.
And let's just jump right into it. So there is a claim that probably many of you have heard. There's a claim that there are 7 cities named Nineveh in America that will be within the path of totality during the 2024 total solar eclipse. And then there's another claim that says that there were seven cities named Salem, which is short for Jerusalem, that were in the path of totality in the 2017 eclipse. Now, let's deal with the Nineveh thing. First, there are 7 cities in Nineveh in America total. So there are seven Ninevehs in America. Now, only two of them are in the path of totality, as you can see right here. The other ones are not within the path of totality. That's not correct. Now, all seven cities will be able to see the eclipse partially, but that's also true for every city in America. But let's keep in mind that two cities named Nineveh are in the path of totality while we look at the next claim, because there still might be something here, but we're gonna see. Now, there are 36 cities in America named Salem, which you can see here. Now, how many of these are in the path of totality? Well, once again, only two, but there still are two. So again, that gives us two Ninevehs for 2024 and two Salems for 2017 within the path of totality of these two eclipses that are, strangely enough, 7 years apart. Now, if somebody wanted to say that there are seven Ninevehs that can at least view the eclipse in 2024, which again, that would be true for every city in America. Well, that's true, but then to be consistent, they'd have to also admit that there were 36 cities named Salem that saw the eclipse in 2017. But for those who are interested in the biblical meaning of numbers, all is not lost. We have two Ninevehs, we have two Salems. But before I get into that, let's look really quickly into a couple more claims. I got two more I want to look at. So first, it's been said that a place called Rapture, Indiana, will be in the crosshairs of these two eclipses. Well, that's actually simply just not true. Now, as you can see here, Rapture, Indiana was not in the path of totality for 2017. Actually, none of Indiana was. So it can't be in the crosshairs of both eclipses. However, it is in the path of totality for 2024. So, as you can see here, there is only one place in America named Rapture, but it's not in the crosshairs. So the most that we can say about this is that Rapture, Indiana is in the path of totality for 2024, but it was like every other place in 2017 that was able to see a partial eclipse. It's very close, but it's not exact. Also, I should mention that these kinds of things can't be used to predict the exact timing of the rapture. We're not meant to know the day or the hour. Now, I do believe it's possible to maybe know the season. But we shouldn't use things like this. We shouldn't use these things to date set. It should be sufficient for us to say that we are most likely very, very close. But I don't believe that we can know I don't believe that we can know that based on an eclipse running through a city named Rapture. That seems to be a stretch to me. I think you can just look around at the state of the world today, and that's evidence enough. There are actual prophecies in the Bible that tell us things about what to look for. Now, the second one, there is a claim that Carbondale, also known as Little Egypt in Illinois, is in the crosshairs of both eclipses. Now, this one is actually true, as you can see here. It's not in the exact center, but that's pretty close. It is definitely within the path of totality of both the 2017 and 2024 total solar eclipses. Now, people have noted the strangeness of the name Little Egypt and have drawn possible prophetic parallels to that.
And we talked about that earlier. So error number three he talked about was the Rapture engine. Rapture, Indiana, wasn't in both eclipses, but it will be in this one here. Does this make sense? It sounds nice, and it sounds like God was doing something, but the church has to be better than this. We can't. These are simple things that, you know, with a 5-minute Google search, you can look and determine. But person after person after person after person just kept passing this information along. It's spiritual laziness. Another error that's out there, the 2017 eclipse was the first great American eclipse that happened since 1776. There had never, since the founding birth of our nation, right at the time of the birth of our nation, God declared a word through the Son about our nation being among the nations. Now, that happened in 1776. We've had many eclipses since then, but not one that only touched the United States. This is a false claim. There was no eclipse in 1776 at all. Prophetic people are telling people this. Why? And nobody's calling them out on it. Nobody's saying, hey, this is wrong. There was no eclipse in the United States in 1776 at all. There was one in 1778, 1806, 1811, 1878, 1880, 1889, 1900, 1918, 1925, 1945, 1951, 1970, 1979. You see how big the lie is? It's crazy. Paper stuck. Error number seven that they're talking about. They're saying that seven planets will align. If you could look at image 15, Brett. They're saying that seven planets will align on April the 8th. It's actually four, and it happened on April the 4th. Prophetic people are telling this. Makes no sense whatsoever. Error number six, and you can go to, that's it. Error number six, the next three blood moons are tied to Purim, which is tied to Esther and Mordecai and the Jews being free from their enemies. This is partially false. The Purim that just took place on March 23rd and 24th was not a full blood moon. It was only a partial lunar eclipse called a ring of fire. The Purim in March 13th and 14th of 2025 will have a full blood moon. And the Purim in 2026, March 2nd and March 3rd, will have a full blood moon. Why sensationalize it? Two's good. You know, you don't have to add anything to. It makes this really, really blew my mind at what I see the body of Christ doing. And we need to make sure we don't do these types of things. We need to make sure that our prophetic is so pure that people can trust us. I will never be able to trust these people again because of what they've done. And what I don't understand is how come the rest of the body of Christ does not do their due diligence before they forward this information on to everybody else. Because it's blatantly obvious that these things are wrong. And we need to draw the line in the sand and say, we're not going to do this. We're not going to forward misinformation. We're not going to do false prophecy. If we even feel like something's wrong with our prophetic, we need to be checking ourselves and saying, God, clean me, fix whatever's broken in me. And the biggest thing is that people want to be seen. They want to be known for being smart. They want to be known for being deep and religious. Get rid of that mess. Get rid of that mess. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know. I'll go look it up. And I still may not be able to find the answer. I do not want to misrepresent God in any way, shape, or form. I don't. It's not in me. There's too many specific things that have happened in that Bible that there's no way they could happen. Only but God. And that's the God that I serve. That's the God that I serve. So specific, so detailed. I don't know what God wants to do this morning. I'm not going to lie to you. Be honest with you. I just know that his anointing is here. And I know that he's able to touch you to meet whatever need that you have. So at this point, I'm just going to open up the altar and let God do his best, because he always does. If you need something from God, the altar's open for you.